Hello again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And we're right in the middle of this holiday season where we're starting to rejoice over all sorts of things. And this is Thanksgiving weekend. Are you thankful? Is there thankfulness in your heart for all the things that we have seen and heard? All the things that we have and where we go and the safety of our travel? I want to take you for a few moments back into Luke 9, and I want to help you and me, and I want us to look at one or two things. What is the gospel is the question. And I believe the answer to the question, what is the gospel, is a very passionate thing. And you and I need to be understanding that passion is so enormous that you and I have the blessing of God Almighty upon our lives. But we've gone away and temporary things have taken the place of faith. The things of this world have choked us a little bit, if not a lot. This is an introduction to something that we don't really understand. Why aren't people grateful to the Lord Jesus for all that he did, all that he's done, and all that he's doing? And I believe that Jesus is in command. I do not believe that voting, the public taking their God-given, as it's called, right. I don't believe in such things. I don't think we have a God-given right. We have a need to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus. Let's look at one or two things then in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 9. We read at the beginning of this little portion of scripture that he called the 12 together, verse 1, and gave them power and authority over the demons to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff nor a bag, nor bread nor money. Do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel or good news, healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. Herod said, I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see Jesus. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethesda. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Let's stop. This is the beginning of sending out missionaries, if you like. The beginning of sending people out with some incredible news. And the good news was so remarkable that it would change people's lives as they believed in the one who was performing the miracles. Now, in the day in which we live, we are such a can-do group of people, especially those of us here in America, that we really don't need miracles. After all, we've got very expensive hospitals. We've got a whole industry of medical helps. And so why do we need miracles? And I believe that we need miracles to remember and to be reminded and to be remembering that Jesus Christ came to heal. By his stripes, we are healed. And there is a healing that takes place in some countries that are not having all the facilities that we have, that we miss completely and don't understand because we don't even inquire. Because after all, the doctor said that I had this diagnosis and so I can expect to be in this condition now and that condition soon and eventually I shall die and etc. We've got everything so pigeonholed and so remarkably worked out, there really isn't much room for miracles. So we are missing the blessing of God Almighty. Notice how Jesus works. He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. Now, how many of you believe that a lot of us are suffering from the presence of demons? How many of us believe that Jesus can certainly cast out whatever wretched thing has happened? We are a nation, and we have turned our attention to the things of this world. And as a nation, we have turned away from God. But I believe as a nation, if we turn to God, that we will find that God will listen to our confession. We are to confess our sins. We don't believe that. To whom shall we confess? To the Lord Jesus. We don't need anybody to come between us and him. We don't need the pastor. We don't need the prophet. We don't need the Pope. We don't need all the leaders of these denominations and people that say they care because they have totally failed us. If you think about it, every time something comes up that is remarkable and people go in crowds to listen to the word of God being proclaimed, why, as soon as possible, old Satan gets in there and they have to have a committee. Having got the committee, then they have to sit down and talk about what we, the committee, are going to do. We have to have a committee that looks after the finances. We have to have a committee to lead us in prayer. We have to have a committee that follows up. We have to have a committee that works out how to disciple people. And in one sense, and I don't mean to be unkind, it's a lot of rubbish. We do not have to sell what we've got. We have to do as we're told. Being obedient to the doing of the work of the ministry of the gospel, we need to carry that gospel as if we were carrying very precious treasure. And we need not to lay it at the feet of fools, and not to cast our pearls before swine, but we are to present the precious blood of Jesus, the washing of that blood in our experience. And right there is a serious problem. There was a time when people gathered round to listen to the preachers, and everybody that's a preacher that has a large congregation seems to write a book. He writes a book about himself, his family. He writes a book about his ministry. We all say ooh and ah. Yet we forget who gave him the power, and we forget that he has that authority from God, and we forget that without the Lord Jesus' power and authority, he can do nothing. And so we don't give God the glory. We say we do, but that usually means we enjoy the hymn that we're particularly singing, and we're worshipping with our hands held high, and we're saying a lot of things that we don't understand. We need to understand. Let me take three things. If you take these three things, look at our country, look at our community, and look at our family. Whatever family it is God has given you. And you will find these things lifting their heads, demanding attention, helping to break our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Demanding our attention. Let me share these three things with you. We are told in the Bible, in the scriptures, in the last days there will be immorality. Or, to put it another way, there are those that will be wrongly married and others who will go beyond that, and they will be given in marriage, which means literally that people will give their bodies to one another and the immorality will continue to go on. We don't like to think that we're immoral, but we are immoral. We don't like to admit that. But Jesus says, repent, stop it, turn away from it, put it in the past. God's put it behind his back. God has cast it from his own memory. Your sins I will remember no more. So why don't you accept that and get on with your life and get rid of immorality? Now, that's an easy thing to say, but as I have counseled with many people, I have realized that people don't know how to repent. And I have come to the conclusion that people as a whole who do not repent cannot receive the blessing of God. And we seem to think we can. There was a man who was king of Israel. His name was Saul. Don't confuse him with Saul of Tarsus. He was Saul, the king, the first king of Israel. Now, God did not want to give to Israel a king. He said, I'm your king. Turn to me, speak to me, learn of me. Let me guide you through the wilderness. Let me establish you as a country and establish you as a nation that love me. Let me do that. But oh no, the Israelites had to get into a terrible system of religiosity. We call it Hebrewism or Jewishism. We criticize them because they did not detach themselves from the things of the world, but they are immoral. The immorality that spread absolutely spoiled the testimony that Israel could have had in this world. Our sins are like scarlet dye, says the word of God, and is not easily washed away. It is not easily taken away. But Jesus quietly says, if you come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. And what he's saying is, I will cleanse you. I will take away the stain, even the stain of sin. Whatever your sin is in the morality department, confess it to him. Bow down before him. Ask him to clothe you. Ask him to wash you. Ask him to give you not just a nice pat on the head, read this little booklet that I wrote and all that sort of thing that we preachers get very involved in, but really with tears, agonize over the sin of immorality. As a people, this country has dived in the deep end with immorality. We have said that homosexuality is fine. That is not true. The man, the preacher, the leader of the church that says it is true is leading the people into a lie. God says, this is repugnant to me. It's a stench in my nostrils. And it stings, and I repudiate such people. Now somebody's going to say I'm all bigoted over homosexuality. No, because the rest of the story is this. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will take away the sin, repent of the sin, and I will wash you white as wool. I will cleanse you, and you'll be like a child. You will be born again. Now, this is basic, totally. But there's another thing that we have to think about. We have to think about the murdering that goes on in this country. People are being murdered, shot at whim and fancy. we don't do much about it. We say, oh, that poor man, his parents didn't lead him, didn't help him, didn't give him the support system. And we use all sorts of fancy conclusionary expressions, but we really don't know what we're talking about. Murder needs to be considered. You say to me, hey, preacher, I'm no murderer. Oh, no. But you're party to it. For instance, we kill more than 30,000 babies a year as a nation. For years we've been doing this. It's called abortion. When I first came to the country, the discussion in 1969 was very much about abortion. People were shocked that there was such a thing. Of course there's such a thing, and it's been going on for millenniums. Because people don't want to be caught in their sin, and they don't want their sin in evidence, the sin of immorality. They don't want that to happen. They want to push it aside. They want to pretend that they've never done such a thing. Some of these people go to church, and I admit I've met many of them, carrying a heavy Bible, a large Bible, and they sit in the pew, and they say amen when the preacher says something they can agree with, and they come away saying, oh, wasn't it good to be in church today? I just worshipped God. Good. But worship starts in the truth of the fact of sin. And worship starts because we are cleansed from that sin by the power and the authority, listen to this now, not of the educational system, not of the brilliance of the man's mind, but the humility of the hearer casting him or herself before the Lord Jesus and crying out, Lord, I've sinned and come short of your glory. Wash me white as snow, for if you don't wash me, nobody can. And are crying out to hold the ankle, as it were, of Jesus, saying something like this with the heart just crying out to God, bless me or let me die. Oh, such a performance really scares us. But Jesus addresses this issue a little later on, and he's talking to the disciples at this point in this chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He says, there are those who want to follow me, but they have an argument. Everyone was marveling, verse 43 of this chapter, everyone was marveling or being amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them, so that they would not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about the statement. An argument started among the disciples. This argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. Now listen, in verse 47, Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood by his side, and he said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him that sent me. For the one who is the least among all of you, this is the one who is great. John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow along with us. But Jesus said, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you. When the days were approaching, the time when Jesus went up into heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans. to make arrangements for him. Now, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus did. Jesus did. I'll challenge you. If you're a young pastor, be very careful in your congregation who you make a friend of, because you might just find that he or she is rejected by the rest of the congregation. And if you just barrel on and make friends with that person, you seem to enter into their terrible experience. But John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name." And you say, "That can't be possible." Oh, yes, it can. Satan has always got his counterfeit. And murder, we murder. We in this country are shocking. It's not the kid with a pistol in the street that just shoots a policeman. It's not the person that bludgeons his wife to death in the bedroom. The murder I am talking of is the killing of the Spirit of God that is inside a man. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, and murder takes place. The book of Proverbs tells us that one of the things that is the most dangerous thing to do is to take a hold of a person's character and despise it and make it sound as if that person has committed some sin that the super righteous wouldn't even dream of. Jesus is a friend of such a person. He says, "All of you, come to me, stand like this little child that I've pulled out of the congregation and is standing with me, and repent, and repent. Believe the good news. Your sins, though they were like scarlet, they're washed away from the fabric of your life." And then there is stealing. When we get into the stealing mode, how do we steal? Well, let's say the phone rings and I am talking to someone. This is so prevalent today. Nobody says, "Excuse me while I address this issue." We just talk in front of the person that we were with, and a person is stealing the valuable time that we have with another person. They steal the time that we have with our families. They steal from us. Not just taking from us money and valuables, not that sort of stealing. There is much more to stealing than meets the eye. And one is that we steal the time. Now, there's a great side of all of this that could spend another hour and a half just talking about, but let's just, in closing, consider. Are you a thief? Do you steal a person's time on the telephone, texting, wasting your time? Now, I'm not criticizing the technology of the day. What I'm doing is I'm saying, don't waste your time. Paul, the apostle, had a way of doing this differently. He said, "I want you to be a people who are a people that don't waste others' time." Saul of the king wasted people's time because he was a king. They didn't have to pay taxes, but now they had a king. They had to keep his army, and they had to have taxes. God had a very simple way of living. He said, "Leave it to me. You don't have to pay me, but you do have to obey me." And Saul didn't obey God, and he was disqualified. But he went on for 40 years as the king of Israel. And the shadows he cast and the dreadful things he did are written in the books of the Word of God. It's a historic fact that he was a useless leader. Yet he came in looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger for his wonderful physique. Women swooned at the sight of him, the mention of his name. People said, "Well, there's a real leader. He can stand in a chariot and he can fight the fights and this and that and the other." He could, but in secret, he was killing. He was having children murdered because of his sin of immorality. He lied. He told God he'd done as he was told. Have you ever done that? Oh dear. Stolen. When you take your children in for a meal, remind them that this is like communion and we're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Have a holy time. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. But remember, don't be a thief. Don't be a murderer by agreeing to abortion. And don't be immoral. And whatever those words mean to you, think on these things. And Jesus will cleanse you. So I have to stop. The clock runs. But I wanted to say those things to you and love you through a microphone and say to you, repent. Believe the good news. Christ has come. Christ has cleansed us. Christ has delivered us from evil and we're on the victory side. We can't lose. So we get killed. So we die. I had a darling friend. She died when she was 31 with cancer. And all of us that knew her loved her. Oh, yes, we did. We absolutely loved her. And she used to use this expression, sudden death, sudden glory. And I imagine as John Baptist bowed down to have his head cut off, that was in his mind. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask that we may follow you, not counting the cost, but follow you with all that we are and all that we have, all our talents, all our abilities, all our money, everything, all our learning. Oh, Lord, help us to follow you honestly and take the dishonesty away from us. Let's not pretend. Help us not to just be partakers in a pretense system, but help us to be filled with the power and authority and understand that of the Lord Jesus. Now will you bless us and bless this weekend and our dear families. Watch over the travellers and keep us in your peace for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.